We be live. Hello, everyone. Make sure you like the stream right at the beginning of the stream. Don't delay. Don't think. Just like the stream right now. We need that. We need the likes for us to grow the channel. So do it right now before we get into it. Now you can think. Okay. Now we can do it. But before that, again, beginning of the stream, it's important to like the stream because it gets everybody come here and watch. We get more people from around the YouTube that, you know, gets recommended. So you can help us grow the channel. You could help us smack this dogmatic, stupid ideologies and also these ungrateful pieces of crap like Hassan Piker here, who lives in America, who doesn't understand that his life, his security, his peace, his well-being, and a lot of other people are based on ideas and methodologies and standards that he is against. He is making the world a worse place by fighting ideas that is making the world a better place. And we are here on Atheist Republic to fight dangerous ideologies like Islamic ideologies and Hassan Piker's ideologies, which is a far left. You know, so what are the most harmful ideologies that we have right now? Like, it's Islam thing, communism, wokeism, and Islam are the top three right now. The top three most dangerous ideologies to the planet that are a threat to everything that is making this planet better. Year by year, we're progressing. Year by year, everything is getting better. People are not recognizing why that is. People are not recognizing that it's because of liberal values. Liberal values, okay? You morons, you idiots, you don't understand why you're living more peaceful, prosperous lives. It's because of liberal values, right? And we're here to smack these like little bugs, like Islamic bugs, woke bugs, communist bugs. We're here to smack them. And you in the live chat, you could help us grow by liking the stream and leaving a comment after the stream is over and recommending this channel to as many people as you can. Let me see. There are already people here. People are already liking the stream. Well, guys, we're 2 minutes in. Have we been demonetized? Have we been demonetized? Oh my God, yes, we have been demonetized. I don't know why. I have no idea. What did I say? What the hell did I say? Why have we already been? Is it Hassan Piker? Because Hassan Piker videos gets us demonetized earlier than our other streams. Like, I talk about Islam and we get demonetized like halfway, like half an hour into the stream, 20 minutes into the stream. Sometimes, you know, the entirety of the stream, we don't get demonetized. But so far, two Hassan Piker videos, and within the first 2 minutes, we got demonetized. I don't understand what's happening, but I do understand this. I do understand that it's gone, and it's gone. We have lost. We have lost the monetization, and that's why I need you guys to like the stream, because when we get demonetized, we don't just get demonetized. We also get deprioritized. That means less people will end up seeing the stream, and you could undo the effect that the demonetization has by liking the stream, so that maybe more people end up seeing it, right? Let me see what you guys in the live chat. No, the report, I don't think it's the reporting. Is it the David is saying, I think they just have it in for you. You are a quick demonetized. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like there's something against this channel. Anyways, you guys. Yeah, so let's get back to Hassan Piker and see the nonsense that he has to say. And let's just smack it. And today, I'm going to show you more data. I know you guys are excited. Like, yes, Armin, like, give us that data. Give us that sexy, sexy data. I have that for you, okay? Unlike Hassan Piker, I don't speak out of my ass. I actually have something to back it up, right? You took permission from Hassan to review. Oh, my God, look at this. Armin, did you take permission from Hassan to review? No, I did not. No, I did not. I do not need permission. I do not need permission from Hassan to... Like, what are you talking about? Did you get permission from me to comment on the live stream? Do you need permission from me to comment there? Did you get permission from me to comment? You don't need my permission. I don't need permission to review his videos. What are you talking about? Oh my God. All right, let's just start. Let's just start before I lose my mind.
Perspective, they look at it and they go, well, what do you mean? Why do they hate America? They hate us because they ain't us, right? It's like, no, they hate us because we kill them. We destabilize them. We kill them. We're awful. We're monstrous. And then we celebrate it on television like this. Americans get scared. hopeless when it, like a when you see like the Iranian parliament like burning an American flag or burning an Israeli flag, and it's like, why wouldn't they do that? Of course they're going to do that. Look at what we're doing.
Look at what we're doing. Of course they're going to do that. Again, I'm going to first show this to you guys. Let's see how much Iranians hate the United States, okay? So I have this poll. This poll is from when? I think it's from 2021, all right? This is before the Mahsa Revolution. Before the Mahsa Revolution. Do you know how much things have changed since 2021 in Iran, right? In Iran, like, people used to be 50, almost 50-50 on Israel in 2021 or so, or around that time. Now they're heavily, heavily pro-Israel. So, but I have an old poll. I just want you to know that this is an old stat. Like, 2021 is, like, based on how much things have changed in Iran, it's considered very old. But even if we go back then, even if we go back then, let's look at views. By the way, this is from Gamon poll, which is an academic, you know, poll from in Netherlands, right? But let's see. Views on countries and international organizations. This is the opinions of Iranians on different countries, right? So again, 2021, things have changed so far, but from them. But even back then, even before the Mahsa Revolution, right? You can see more than 50% of Iranians have a favorable, again, I'm not making this stuff up. This is not just based on my experience with the Iranian people. This is not just because every day I talk to Iranian people. This is not just because I'm also a content creator for people in Iran, not just in English. I also have a Persian channel. This is not based on my personal experiences. This is based on stats, you know, favorable. Like, you see, 20% plus 31% adds up to more than 50% of Iranians have a favorable view towards United States, right? So again, you can see the Israel one here was less than 50%, was it? Yes, before the Mahsa Revolution, but I would almost guarantee it after the Mahsa Revolution. So favorable view towards Israel before the Mahsa Revolution. And also remember, this is 40 years of anti-Israeli brainwashing. So favorable view was 34%, right? An unfavorable view was still under 50%, right? 47%. Still under unfavorable was also like no opinion was 17%. That's what makes it. But unfavorable was also under 50%. Now I will almost guarantee that Israel is now managed to have reached more than 50%. But here's an interesting thing. Israel, even if it was less than 50% 2 years ago, it's higher than almost any other country on this list, right? Look at this. So they asked United States about people's views on United States, people's views on Israel, people's views on United Kingdom, people's views on European Union, people's views on Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, United Nations, the World Health Organization, which is not a country, so we can ignore that. United Nations is also not a country, so we could ignore that. But look at this. Favorable view. If you look at Israel, the United States is number one. So among all these countries, the most popular, guys, get this, in Iran, among United States, Israel, United Kingdom, European Union, Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, okay? The most popular country in Iran, among Iranian people, is the United States. Would you have guessed that? Would you have guessed that? That United States is the most favorable country among Iranians? Huh? Would you have guessed that? And number two, let me see, is that true? Yeah, number two is Israel. Right? So yeah, Israel is not as high as it is right now, but Israel, in the popularity of Israel in Iran is higher than the UK, is higher than the European Union, is higher than Russia, is higher than China, and is higher than Saudi Arabia. How do you like that? Huh? Is it you second? EU is not a country. Oh yeah, EU is second. You're right. EU is second. But EU is not a country. So that's not, let's ignore the ones that are not countries. EU is not a country. United Nations is not a country. And the World Health Organization is not a country. So countries, among countries, Israel is second. Not higher than EU. Yes, you guys are right. This is why I do this live, so you guys can correct me when I'm wrong. It's not higher than EU, but it's higher than China, Russia, and Saudi Arabia. All right, so let's go back to Sam Piker. So yeah, United States, they're like, oh, they hate us because they ain't us. No, you moron. They don't hate you. You hate you. You hate America. The Iranian people don't hate America. So shut up.
Reasoning so as not to embarrass the Iraqi government, but another group that has carried out multiple attacks on U.S. forces, the Al-Nujba movement, have said they'll keep attacking U.S. forces. So there's no one clear answer about where Iranian back.
I will show you more information from that poll, because that poll in general is very interesting. Okay, so I'm going to go back to that. There's a lot more interesting data that comes from there.
Militias go from here. That's something we'll have to see, especially after these broader strikes. Do they have the...
That's reductive. The Iraqi Syrian MGs were in favor of us when we were cleansing ISIS. Yeah, you know what's funny about that? You said that's reductive, except you know who else was... cleansing ISIS? The Iranian Revolutionary Guard and the subsequent proxy militias that they created. So what do you mean? Yeah, exactly. The notion that like we are welcoming, we welcome them as heroes in our country is a silly one, because no, they did not welcome Americans as liberators. They see America as the responsible party for ISIS to exist to begin with.
Okay, so here's the thing. This person, okay, does... I don't understand how Hassan is such an important commentator. When he says they don't see us as liberators, they see us as part of the problem. Who is they, Hassan? Why are you talking about entire populations as if they have the same freaking opinions? Yes, there are people in Iraq and Iran and Syria that hate the United States. And there are people there that love the United States. Maybe speak, look at what I'm doing. I'm not talking generally, even though most people in Iran agree with me, right? I'm not speaking all. I'm not saying like, oh, Iranians in general love the United States. I'm showing you that they're more of them like United States, you know, more than average, more than 50%. I'm not like you. I'm not acting like the entirety of the people over there have the same opinion as me. I'm more specific. I am more accurate about how I speak. But you don't. Like, look at this. Listen to this again. This is a serious political commentator with millions and millions of people following his words. And also, first of all, Iran went into Syria not to defeat ISIS. They went there to support Assad. Okay? And Assad was also responsible for ISIS. You know, the world is multifactorial. You cannot just come up with one reason for why we have ISIS. You know, the United States missteps or mistakes by United States, unlike this guy, I don't speak in black and white. I support the United States, but I don't act like they haven't made any mistakes. Of course, some of the mistakes by the United States led to ISIS gaining power. But it's multifactorial. There are many, many, many things that led to ISIS gaining power, not just the mistakes of the United States. The Islamic Republic of Iran was a main reason why we have ISIS. Okay, Assad, you know, freeing prisoners was a main reason why we had the ISIS growing. There were many other elements. You know, the Wahhabism that Saudi Arabia spread around that region was one of the main reasons why we had ISIS in the region, right? So there's multiple factors. There's many factors. But this guy, because he hates America so much, just focuses on the America factor. He doesn't look at how Saudi Arabia, how Assad, and how the Islamic Republic were also responsible for ISIS eventually becoming what it is. And then even though the Islamic Republic is responsible for ISIS becoming ISIS, it doesn't notice that part, but he does notice the fact that the Islamic Republic fought ISIS, but then ignores the fact that the United States was the main reason why we defeated ISIS. Do you think that the Iranian regime is the main reason why we defeated ISIS or the United States? You know, if you want to celebrate, Hassan, look, I'll make it easy for you. You're so dumb, you don't understand these things, but here, I'll make it easy for you so that you understand this. If you want to celebrate the Islamic Republic of Iran fighting ISIS because ISIS bad, and okay, the Islamic Republic of Iran was fighting ISIS, then can you also use that same standard to celebrate Al-Qaeda? Go ahead, Hassan, because that's where that standard gets you. Because Al-Qaeda was also fighting ISIS. You're celebrating the Islamic Republic, you're celebrating IRGC for their fight against ISIS. By that standard, you also have to celebrate Al-Qaeda because they were also fighting ISIS. Go ahead, celebrate Al-Qaeda. I dare you with that standard. And also, the Islamic Republic's main reason in Syria initially was to save Assad, which is a bigger terrorist than ISIS anyways. So they are defending one monster against another monster. Oh, like, oh my God, they're fighting ISIS. Yeah, they're fighting ISIS to save Assad. You want to congratulate them for trying to defend one monster over another? Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Welcome them as heroes in our country is a silly one because, no, they did not welcome Americans as liberators.
Some of them did. Some of them did. Some of them didn't. Some of them did. You know, don't speak generally.
They see America as the responsible party for ISIS to exist to begin with.
There were responsible parties, including your friends, the terrorists, Hassan, responsible parties, including the Islamic Republic, including Wahhabism from Saudi Arabia. It's multifactorial. Geopolitics is not that simple. Maybe you would understand that if you were... So if you had two neurons to rub against each other.
Targeting that could come in the next few days.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's saying Hassan's entire worldview revolves around America. America bad. America bad. That's the only thing he understands.
In the next few weeks, this multi-stage operation that they've been talking about for several days now, would you expect that to broaden out beyond this area that we've been talking about, that this border between Iraq and Syria to elsewhere in the Middle East?
I think it's possible that it could expand a little bit beyond where we are. So we talked a little bit earlier about the Euphrates River Valley being kind of the center of this operation. At least that appears to be the case at the moment. What I was thinking about as we were putting the maps up on, you know, in the graphics on the screen here.
Yeah, that's not true. The U.S. was not welcomed.
The other thing that we could potentially do...
You moron, pause the freaking video before you start talking. We can't hear the video that you're playing or what you're saying. Hit pause before you speak. You can't even stream. You're one of the biggest streamers in the world and you don't even know how to stream. It's not just that he's a bad commentator on geopolitics. He also can't stream properly.
Iraq is a serious 10,000% supported regional force, not the U.S. I'm a fucking Iraqi. I know. I of course. He didn't welcome the American forces. The American forces did.
I'm a freaking Iraqi. I'm an Iraqi. Okay, you speak on behalf of all Iraqis because you're an Iraqi.
Not true. The U.S. was not welcome.
The
Iraqi
other thing that
and
we
Syrians
could potentially do.
Iraq is a serious one.
Okay, here's the thing. The opinion polls. I don't know what the majority of people in Iraq believe. Right. I know the polls for Iran. I don't know the polls for Iraq. I just know for a fact that not all people in Iraq think alike, right? And here's the thing. If you're an Iraqi, listen to me. Without United States, okay, Iraq will become part of the Islamic Republic, okay? I know it's really bad, you know. So right now in Iraq, a lot of young people are very annoyed that their country has become a chessboard for other powers. Namely, the United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran, right? But if it wasn't a chessboard, it would now become the Islamic Republic of Iran's entirely. So it is annoying. I understand. For an Iraqi right now, it is annoying that their politics are basically under the influence of United States involvement and the Islamic Republic's involvement in their country. Two governments that is basically not the chosen governments of the Iraqi people. But however, without United States, it would be entirely the Islamic Republic. There would be nothing stopping the Islamic Republic. So as bad as it is for United States right now to be meddling in your politics, with the permission of your government, may I add, They're not meddling, so without permission. This is the Iraqi government is begging the United States. This is not an illegal meddling. This is a meddling. This is an involvement. This is a providing security and safety by with the request of the current Iraqi government, right? So, but they're doing that because they know that they can't defend themselves right now against the Islamic Republic. What do you want? Do you want the United States to leave? Well, okay. Welcome. I'll welcome you to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now they're going to completely take over your politics. At least the Americans are trying, Americans being in Iraq right now are trying to get Iraq to a point where you could control your destiny, even though right now you can't completely control your own destiny, have complete choose over your political representatives. The Iranian government, they're not trying to get you there. The Iranian government is trying to make sure that they get to control everything in your country.
10,000% supported regional forces, not the U.S. I'm a fucking Iraqi. I know.
Look at this. This is somebody in live chat who says, Armin supports murdering children. Imagine that being your criticism of me. This is the level of deep thought people have when they want to push back against me. Again, when I see that this is the pushback against me, this is your level of analysis, I feel very secure that I'm on the right side because these are the arguments against me. These are what people say to try to come to dismantle my arguments. They have nothing else. They have nothing else.
Of course, he didn't welcome the American forces. The American forces did the exact same that the Israeli occupying force is doing to that population. Here's the sad reality. The veterans in this chat will unironically defend that and will tell you that that is what I'm saying is true. The veterans that you know, ask them. Maybe some of them will be honest. Maybe others will lie to you. But the reality is we were the Israeli
Some of them will be honest. The other ones will be lying to you. So the veterans that agree with me, they're honest. The veterans that disagree with me are lying. Okay, sounds pretty circular. Sounds like, yeah, like look at my evidence. The ones that agree with me are right, and the ones that don't agree with me are liars. This, and that's how I just filter out the evidence to just agree with me. All right, great.
Then we'll be honest, maybe others will lie to you. But the reality is, we were the Israeli occupying force of Iraq and Afghanistan. It's hard to conceptualize this as an American citizen, so like,
occupying force right now the United States is in Iraq with the not just the permission but the desperate begging of the Iraqi government.
Like, I have no analog, I have no way of like helping you conceptualize this.
I mean, that is sometimes that goes up and down. Like every time United States wants to leave, they're like, okay, no, please don't leave. And every time United States does something to retaliate against their soldiers being killed or something like that, they're like, oh, maybe United States has to go now. And then United States is like, okay, should we go? Or like, for domestic content for our citizens. We don't really actually want you to go. Like, please, Daddy US, please don't go. The Islamic Republic is going to eat us alive if you leave here.
This level of like violence and fear.
I mean, except the politicians in Iraq, which you can see that are directly funded and sent by the Islamic Republic. Yes, those ones will always want the United States government to leave, United States military to leave. But you could see exactly, if you go into Iraq, you could see you could guess which politicians want the United States to leave. They're exactly the politicians that the Iraqis know themselves that are agents of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I wonder why.
Analog. I have no way of like helping you conceptualize this level of like violence and fear. Because like if I tell you like what if the Chinese invaded America and had like a tremendously superior military, like infinitely more superior, just eviscerated our air defense. They have air superiority. We have no way to retaliate against that. And then there's like a group of people that they had propped up that turned around. Like the only analogy you can use is aliens. Exactly. That's how much.
No, the only analogy you could use is not. I mean, not. That's not the only analogy. The analogy you could use is United States, you know, attacking Japan in World War II, and Japan eventually just accepted that this is the way things are. And look how Japan is right now. Look at what. Like, I don't know why you have to go to aliens to come up with examples, right? Look at how Germany is doing right now after they accepted the American superiority and they just accepted defeat. Look at how Japan is right now. Look at the Arab countries that have accepted that Israel is, you know, superiority means that Israel should be accepted as a country and they made peace with Israel. Look at how they're doing compared to, I don't know, maybe Palestine, who has not yet accepted that reality.
Of an imbalance there is between the American forces and the civilian population. It's like if aliens came to the United States of America, it was just like ripping us apart, straight lasering us. Like, would you think that they are the good guys? Maybe there was also another militia force that was created that was also...
I mean, Japan right now thinks that United States is the good guys. Germany thinks that. Oh, Gaijin America. Thank you so much. Gaijin America saying, I'm careful with the Iraqi begging for U.S. meddling. That's the excuse tankies use to justify PRC annexation of Tibet. They paint it as a joint Tibetan communist and Chinese communist liberation. Okay, I don't know. I think that's a false analogy, right? Because we're talking about United States military being a force right now in the world that is maintaining the liberal order, maintaining the structures and the institutions and the foundations where the entire world relies on to keep the level of stability and trade and prosperity that we have around the world, versus the Chinese government that is doing not that, right? So I do think that's a false analogy. But again, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate that.
So awful, okay, and violent. And then the aliens started killing them. I'm pretty sure you would not appreciate the...
By the way, we do need the super chat. So thank you so much, because we have been demonetized, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, 2 minutes in the show, we got demonetized. So the super chats and the likes are very much appreciated. Let's continue.
Would not appreciate the aliens in that circumstance. You would still think the aliens are the bad guys. Lloyd Austin put out a laughable statement. Yeah, he's...
You know what? Because the ones who are attacking must be bad, because if we get attacked by aliens and they are lasering us, we will think like, okay, that's bad. Therefore, I am a political analyst. People take me seriously. If aliens attack us and laser us, we're like, that's not good. Based on that logic, so any form of attack anywhere, that would mean the people who are doing the attacking are bad. Okay. Very deep level of analysis, Hassan. Amazing level of analysis, right? Based on that logic, I don't know, the Allies attacking the Nazis in World War II will be basically the aliens in this scenario, and they would also be bad. You know, Hassan is saying when Adolf Hitler was saying, like, when Allies were attacking Germany, they were like, when they were bombing Dresden and all that, they were like, oh yeah, we're being attacked. Oh, who are the people in Germany when they seen the Allies attacking them? They were like, oh yeah, these are people bombing us. Okay, so we don't like that. So we must be the goodies and they must be the baddies because we're being attacked. Any form of attack, according to Hassan, would be make you evil based on his own standard.
Said that there's more to come, right? Which included 85 targets in Iraq and Syria. Yeah. That Iran's Islamic revolution.
Hopefully. Honestly, Biden's administration has been pathetic when its response. I hope they do respond stronger. I hope they bomb more places. The Biden administration need to bomb more places, because so far the Biden's administration response has, even though they bombed more places than Trump, Trump took cut Qasem Soleimani. That was a much bigger reaction to what the Islamic Republic did. So Biden is falling short. Biden needs to bomb more places right now. And Biden, if Biden had the balls, at some point he would have to bomb somewhere in Iran, not just in Iraq and Syria. At the least you could do, Biden, if you don't want to bomb anywhere within Iran's borders, is take out IRGC vessels in international waters. You know, actual, not proxies of the Islamic Republic, they're actual ships that are outside sea borders of the Islamic Republic. Take out those so that you have actually taken something that belongs directly to the Islamic Republic, not through proxies. At least do that. Okay, we got more super chats. Thank you, guys. These super chats help us continue doing these streams, because as you saw, these streams get demonetized. So it's very good that you're supporting us this way. My TV gave us a $2 super chat saying, so Hassan is Sang's nephew? Now I see the issue. Yes, he is. And yeah, their ideology is pretty close from our perspective. And Niloufar, hey. Niloufar saying, rarely able to catch live AR. Thank you, AR. Well, thank you, Niloufar, and thank you for your support. I appreciate that. This gives me energy. Thank you. Let's continue.
Guard Corps and affiliated militias used to attack U.S. forces is the start of our response. The president has directed additional attacks to hold IRGC and affiliated militias accountable for their attacks on the U.S. and coalition forces. These will unfold at times and places of our choosing. We do not seek conflict in the Middle East or anywhere else, but the president and I will not tolerate attacks on American forces. We will take all necessary action to defend the United States, our forces, and our interests. Yeah, we are engaging in de-escalatory acts
on our side
bombing.
For that, but they're all...
Yes, Hassan, that is the... Look, Hassan, like, oh yes, we are doing de-escalation by bombing. We are, he's making fun of that. He doesn't understand that when they attack you, when you respond, that is a form of de-escalation. Because if they attack you and you don't respond, that is inviting more war. This is a very simple principle in geopolitics that Hassan, with all his years of streaming, still doesn't understand. Like, oh, how could they be de-escalating if they're bombing? You moron! If you don't respond, you're not advertising your deterrence capabilities. So that's why it's de-escalatory. Because then if people fuck around and they don't find out after, they will fuck around some more. How is it that's so hard to understand? What do you want United States to do, Hassan? If the Islamic Republic of Iran kills American soldiers, what do you think would be the proper response? How about that? How about you tell us? Because you keep making fun of the U.S. military's response, but you're not telling us what should be the response. Should just be like, okay, oh, well, they killed three American soldiers. Oh, I guess we're just bad anyways. Maybe, how about this, Hassan? Should they thank them? Do you want the U.S. military to thank the Islamic Republic? Like, hey, we have recognized that we're evil. And you just took out three of our evil soldiers. How amazing. Congratulations. Thank you, Islamic Republic, for fighting and killing our evil soldiers. Do you want them to thank? Do you want the United States military to thank the Islamic Republic? What is the proper response? Tell us.
Also, our signaling reasons, as you're alluding to, and those signaling reasons are very much, hey, we can do.
By the way, this is like in many ways very similar to the Trump situation with Qasem Soleimani. Not as like out of pocket as Qasem Soleimani for sure, but. Depending on Iranian restraint in this circumstance, either this launches into broader conflict, or if
Iranian restraints, he's talking about Iranian restraints while putting the picture of Qasem Soleimani, a person that spread terrorism on countries that he had no business meddling in, all around the region. He talks about U.S. meddling while defending Qasem Soleimani, while being against the killing of Qasem Soleimani, a person that was meddling, who is not a chosen by the people of Pakistan or Afghanistan or Syria or Lebanon or Iraq or Yemen, but it was involved in meddling in all of these countries against the wishes of their civilians, of their citizens. Yeah, United States, hey, how about this? United States took out somebody that was meddling in countries that he was not an official of, who was spreading terrorism there. This is a person who was killing children. He was all killing children. And he, like, you want a murderer of children? This is a person who was killing children on purpose. This is a person who was using child soldiers. This is a person who employed child soldiers. People in Afghanistan were complaining about this guy using child soldiers. That's who United States took out. Good job. Again, I'm a critic of Donald Trump, but on this one, thank you, Trump. This was a proper response. Thank you for taking out this monster. I wish more Americans would recognize that this was one of the things that Trump got right.
On Iranian restraint in this circumstance, either this launches into broader conflict, or if they consider this retaliation to be enough, I guess, and proportional, it's entirely dependent on the Iranian response here. Like, it's
The Iranian response, if the Iranian regime does not respond, is not because they don't want to. It's not because, like, oh yeah, we want peace and stability in the region, and even though United States attack us, we're just going to be the better people and not respond. It's because they're scared shitless. They are terrified. They know what the U.S. military is capable of, and they're pissing themselves right now. If they don't respond, first of all, if they do respond, they're going to probably message the United States and say, like, this is just like something for domestic consumption. Please, Daddy U.S., please don't attack us back. We understand that you're powerful. We understand that we are acting like we're strong, but we're pathetically weak, right? So they were probably like, when Trump was president, the Iranian regime, when they wanted to respond to Qasem Soleimani's killing, they contacted the United States and they like, we need to act like we're strong to all the people powers in the region, but we are scared of you. So we're going to attack this place. Can you take out all your soldiers so we don't kill any of you? Because we know that you're going to probably destroy us if we do kill any of your soldiers. This is why, oh my God, think about this, guys. Right now, when the Islamic Republic, when Trump took out Qasem Soleimani, why did the Islamic Republic not respond strongly? Why did they contact the Trump administration and announce where they're going to attack so that the United States take out its soldiers? Why are United States soldiers are very careful not to take them out? Because of what Biden is doing right now. Because people know that they have to pay a price. You could see the effect of United States showing its military might is the de-escalatory factor in all of this. In everything that is happening, you can see that in effect. It's not because they're just being kind and they're trying to de-escalate things. It's because they know the U.S. might, the U.S. response. That's why United States needs to be strong every time it responds. Do you know also how I know that the Islamic Republic, if it could, it would be raising hell in the Middle East? Because that's how they survive. Every time the Islamic Republic was close to being toppled, a war saved them. The stability in the region is what makes the Islamic Republic powerful. They don't want stability. They're only afraid of a high level of destability where the United States will come and just go full on toppling mode. That's what they're afraid of. But they want destability. The Iran-Iraq war, save the Islamic Republic. Every time there's protests in Iran, they try to start a war. The Islamic Republic tries to start a war because they need war. The Islamic Republic of Iran needs war. They're not trying to de-escalate things. They need escalation to survive. Why do you think they're bombing Pakistan? The Islamic Republic, Pakistan is not even an enemy of the Islamic Republic. They just went and bombed without permission within the borders of Pakistan. Why? Because they need escalation. They need conflict. Pakistan is not enemies with Iran. Even people within the Islamic Republic are like, what the hell? Why are we bombing Pakistan? Anyways, let's continue.
It's Iranian restraint that will stop this from turning into World War III and not America is what I mean. Just like with the Trump situation, when he executed Qasem Soleimani, the reason why it did not turn into a much, much larger issue was directly a consequence of Iranian restraint. Well, I guess they were...
It wasn't Iranian restraint. It was military might. They were... The dots are so close. Guys, the dots are... Hassan! The dots are so close and you're not putting them together. You're like, oh, why is Biden responding with American soldiers being killed? And then he's also noticing that when Trump took out Qasem Soleimani, the Iranians didn't respond very strongly. They tried not to kill American soldiers. And he's also saying, why is Biden responding to American soldiers dying like this? Oh, Hassan, they're so close. These two are related. Oh my God, do you not see how close these are? The reason is exactly Because when they fuck around, they find out. That's why. How are you not seeing how close these two dots are? Holy crap.
It's super restrained. They blew up that aircraft, the airplane. But then COVID happened.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so no, the response to the United States was restrained because they were scared shitless about what the United States is going to do, right? But you know what they did? This is actually good. I'm glad that you put this on the screen. I'm glad that you're showing this to people because they cannot respond to the United States, but they can respond to their own people because the Islamic Republic, when they cannot take out somebody, when they cannot respond to somebody strong, they respond to weak people. They take out children. They take out civilians. They take out defenseless people in Iraq, in Pakistan, and in their own country. When the Iranian regime knows they cannot attack Americans because there will be a response, you know what they do? They kill their own civilians. Okay? The Iranian regime shot down a plane with Iranians and Ukrainians in there. They kill their own civilians to escalate when they cannot. So you, as an American, you can be like, oh my God, they de-escalated the situations. Because why? Because they didn't kill Americans. Well, guess what? When they can't kill Americans, they kill Iranians. Because they want escalation one way or another. The Iranian regime, when they know they can't kill Americans because America is strong, do you know who can we kill? We can kill our own citizens. When we want conflict, when we want escalation, we go to the people that we can afford to kill. And these are the people that Hassan is defending. These are the people that Hassan is defending as the force for good, as ISIS fighters, and United States as a force of evil. Just compare these two forces. United States, when you kill three American soldiers, it will raise hell. It will come after you. There will be a response because Americans are valuable to the American government. Israelis are valuable. They're valued by the Israeli government. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, if you're an Arab, if you're an atheist, if you're Muslim, you come after Israeli citizens, the Israeli government, the Israeli military will come for you. If you come after Americans, if you kill Americans, the American government will come for you. But if you go after the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the Islamic Republic of Iran can't find ways to respond, the Islamic Republic of Iran will kill its own citizens as a way of escalation. That's the regime that we're talking about here. And imagine Hassan Parker comparing that as a force of good compared to the evil that Hassan Parker says that the American military is. Unbelievable. These are completely two different worlds. Unbelievable that he thinks that this is even comparable. Unimaginable. Like, you know, as a way of escalating, when Iranian government just recently bombed Pakistan, you know who they killed? They killed children. They killed random civilians. They killed the poorest people. They killed the poorest people of Pakistan just to escalate. When the Islamic Republic wants to escalate and they know that they can't go after Americans, they attack the Kurdistan region of Iraq because they know they can't respond. They go after weak people. They kill the weak. To look strong, they kill the weak.
And basically, there was like, they were too busy.
Oh, wait, let me see. We got another super chat. Sina, thank you so much for the super chat saying, let me simply say Hassan's position, America bad. Yeah, exactly. Hassan's position is basically this. America bad. That's all that he has to offer.
Dealing with all that instead of like hitting America.
You heard General Votel there just talking about how capable the Iranian military is. How worried are you that if the U.S. were to take the fight directly to Iran, do what you're saying, yeah, striking those Iranian vessels, those ships, and sinking them, that suddenly we'd be off to the race?
Yes, the vessels. Even if Biden is too weak to attack Iranian soil because of the elections, just take out the Iranian vessels. Take out the Iranian vessels that are in international waters. That would be a major response. Major, take an IRGC ship on international waters. That would not be within Iranian borders.
This is in a conflict that that engulfs the entire region and draws the U.S. yet again into another war.
Look, I think, and again, you can talk to members of the Pentagon on the Armed Services Committee, on the intel we read. Iran's not looking for a broader war.
Okay, so Iran is not looking for war. I know that the Iranian regime is not, because they know they will lose that war. So given that we know the Iranian regime is not going to go on full on frontal, like escalated into a full war, then take out their freaking ships. That's an argument for why you should take out the IRGC ships, because you know they're not going to be able to escalate into a full on war.
You were targeting
but here's ships. An issue, and I raised this with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs on Wednesday. You know, the language that we're using about, well, we worry about escalation with regard to Iran. Think about
the Iranian regime does not understand negotiation. The Iranian regime has proven time and time and time again that when you try to negotiate with them, when you try to come up with any other way of like demonstrating anything other than demonstrating force, the Iranian regime will get emboldened and it will increase the terrorist activities in the region. It doesn't work. The Iranian regime has proven time again that when you escalate, they cower. They cower away. A lot of people are like, oh, but what if we escalate and they will now escalate even more? That has not been how they operate. When you escalate, when you respond to their nonsense, they run away and they piss themselves. They're like, they beg you to forgive them. But when you sit on the table like, okay, let's like de-escalate and let's talk to you, let's negotiate with you, they're like, oh, America weak, let's go full on terrorists in the region. That's how they operate. They have proven that's how they operate all the time.
But Alex, what they're doing, they're the ones who are escalating, right? They're the ones who are killing Americans. They're the ones who are unleashing the Houthis to fire on American warships. They're the ones who killed their proxies, killed American soldiers last week. So the escalation is occurring. What we need to do, in my view...
Yeah, Iran is the one who's unleashing the Houthis, but America's not the one unleashing Israel or letting Israel run a genocidal ethnic cleansing campaign in Gaza.
President Trump did...
No, the United States is not doing that. You fucking moron. You fucking idiot. The United States is not doing that. The United States, if Israel, if there's any force in the world that manages to put any pressure on Israel, is the United States. First of all, unleashing Israel, do you mean by unleashing Israel, you mean defending Israel's rights to exist and Israel's rights to defend itself? What do you mean unleashing Israel? Israel is an independent country. It gets to make decisions on itself. The United States, in fact, is meddling more in Israel when it comes to trying to limit Israel's response than any other country. And some Israelis are getting quite annoyed with how much United States is trying to limit Israel's response, given that it's an independent country that gets to decide what it wants to do. In fact, United States is the greatest pressuring factor when it comes to Israel. Biden administration just put sanctions of settlers in the West Bank. Do you guys know that? And I knew the pressure was high, but even if you go look at Bush, if you go look at Clinton, if you go look at almost any president, Obama, Republican or Democrat, they have constantly been putting pressure on Israel in a way that no other country can. And also at the same time, defending Israel's right to defend itself and its right to exist. How are they unleashing genocide? First of all, it's not a genocide. You're an idiot. You're just talking. Even the International Criminal Court hasn't shown any proof of genocide. So I don't know why are you just making stuff up without any evidence. Once you have evidence, maybe I'll take you seriously. You have no evidence for genocide. And it's not, United States is not unleashing Israel. Israel has just got attacked. And Israel needs to show its deterrent capabilities by responding. That's what's happening. Imagine comparing a genocide happening on Israelis and Israel responding to it, comparing that to the Houthis, who are attacking civilian ships, disrupting international trade, and disrupting food supplies and medical supplies to poor people all around the world, harming mostly Islamic countries. The number one country that is being harmed by that right now is Egypt, which is fellow Muslims. Imagine comparing Houthis, basically making more people die because of poverty and lack of access to medicine, Because again, another reminder to everybody, poverty kills more than war. Poverty, remember, everybody keeps saying that. Poverty kills more than war. When you disrupt international trade, you're increasing poverty and you're killing way more people, way, way more people than the number of people that died in both Israel and Gaza combined. Imagine that. Imagine Houthis doing terrorist activities on civilian ships, harming mostly poor countries, harming mostly Islamic countries, not Israel, harming mostly Egypt more than any other country. Imagine defending those terrorist activities and comparing that to Israel showing its deterrent capabilities after the greatest attack on its country in its entire history. How is that even comparable? You moron, you're an idiot. Oh, thank you for the $2 super chat by winning a spray. Again, these super chats help us because this live stream has been demonetized. So thank you for the super chats. Guys, if you're not sending super chats, at least like the stream. Like the goddamn stream. We need to get this in front of more people. There's so many people who agree with Hassan. There's so many idiots who agree with Hassan. We need to get this content in front of other people. So like the stream.
With Soleimani. But also, really importantly...
Oh, like somebody's saying he's lying about demonetization. Well, you're an idiot. A boom. A boom. A boom. Are you embarrassed? You shouldn't be embarrassed. Let's go back.
These non-kinetic actions. And yeah, I guarantee you, our military would be very supportive.
That's why you understand. Next time you see like a Iranian dude light up a American flag and say death to America, now you know why, okay?
Now you know why. That's not an average Iranian dude. You fucking moron. You fucking moron. That's just the Islamic Republic's the regime sympathizer. Like, oh, you know what? Like, basically, Hassan is talking to you about regime sympathizers. He's talking about terrorist sympathizers because the average Iranian loves the United States. You fucking moron. You fucking idiot. Oh, I actually show. Here's another thing. Here's something that I actually might not agree. I'm not agree with the average Iranian people, but it shows you something, right? It shows you where the Iranian people's mindset are, okay? So, like, oh, the Iranian people must hate the Americans because America killed Qasem Soleimani, and they came in and did this and did that, right? Like, because of the involvement of Americans, Iranians hate America. Well, here's the thing. Between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, okay, who killed Qasem Soleimani, right? Let me actually make sure I get this right. I want to make sure I give you guys accurate information, right? So Qasem Soleimani was assassinated in January 2020, right? The poll that I'm about to show you was taken in 2021. Okay, so more than a year after Qasem Soleimani was killed, thankfully, by the Americans, right? By Trump. So what do you think Iranians, who do you think they like more among US presidents? Donald Trump or Joe Biden? A year after the killing of Qasem Soleimani. Well, look at this. This is a year after Qasem Soleimani was taken out by Americans, by Trump, by the Trump administration. It says, according to you, which U.S. president's foreign policy most benefited the Iranian people? Right? Joe Biden is at 7%. Donald Trump is at 30%. 30%. Remember, in 2021, which is ages ago, less than 50% of Iranians did not favor United States. More than half, the majority of Iranians favored the United States. So let's say, for example, the people who say none of them, those are the less than 50% who might not even like United States, right? But among the 50% who like United States, but more than 50%, the vast majority of them prefer Donald Trump over Joe Biden. Joe Biden got 7%. Donald Trump got 30%. 30% a year after killing Qasem Soleimani. In fact, I will almost guarantee it that the reason why Donald Trump is high is because he killed Qasem Soleimani. Because the average Iranians appreciate the killing of Qasem Soleimani. But Hassan doesn't know that because Hassan is an idiot who doesn't know anything but speaks with so much confidence about things that he has no information about. Okay? Okay. But let me actually see. We have two super chats. Noah, thank you so much for the 6 shekels saying, got to keep the Zionist funding going. Well, thank you. This show is Zionist funded and it's official. You can see we got shekels. Thank you so much, Noah. And we also got more shekels from Noah. I'm saying, look, guys, Zionist money being handed to Armin. Oh, my God. This explains why this show's content is the way it is, because we are Zionist funded. Well, thank you, Noah. Thank you. Thank you. See, Zionism controlling the media confirmed. Again, YouTube, I'm just making a joke. Well, I mean, we're already being demonetized.
And where the energy's coming from. Cool. People make it seem like their anger over there to...
See, did you see people saying Qasem the Kotlet? These are Iranians in Iran who celebrate Qasem Soleimani's killing by comparing his corpse after Trump killed him to a favorite Iranian dish, right? So I don't know if you guys know kotlet. So the day that Qasem Soleimani was killed in Iran is now officially the annual kotlet day because people celebrate the killing of Qasem Soleimani annually in Iran by making kotlet. Right? This is kotlet. It's a favorite popular Iranian dish. And the reason why people make kotlet on the annual day that Qasem Soleimani was killed is because when they saw the pictures of his corpse after he was taken out by a missile, his corpse kind of looked like a kotlet. So now every year, annually, on the day that Qasem Soleimani was killed, people in Iran, they make kotlet, they celebrate that day, they congratulate each other. On that day, they, you know, so this is what Iranian people like. They like Trump killing Qasem Soleimani, right?
Is the same as our anger over here towards them. No, their anger towards us is very valid, very justified. It makes sense. Our anger towards them, however, is taught because you don't know about Iran or where it is.
Oh my God, imagine this. Imagine the person who I showed you doesn't know shit about Iran is telling people that they don't know shit about Iran. No, Hassan, you don't know shit about Iran. Hassan, talk to me. I'm Iranian. Hassan, I am Iranian, okay? If you want to learn about Iran, talk to me. I will come and give you I will not tell you that I'm right just because I'm Iranian. I will have facts. I will have data. I will show you why you're fucking wrong.
Is on a map or what they believe or how they want to live their lives. You've been taught that they're barbaric animals. That's it. Same with...
No. You have been taught that they have no agency. You have been taught that all their problems is because of the United States. You're the bigot against Iranians because you think that every problem everywhere in the world must be because of the United States because these people are poor and so weak. They can't cause problems anywhere. They're like so pathetic. We are so strong that all problems must be coming from us. They have no agency.
Iraq, same with Afghanistan.
Continued against U.S. facilities in the Middle East. U.S. service members, 2 of them, were killed 2 months later.
Out.
So that really wasn't a decision.
Well, I would actually respectfully disagree.
Guys, you don't have to ban every single person that tells me to get the out of America because I'm like upset with our foreign policy and how devastating it is for, you know, places overseas, but also how devastating it is domestically. My goal is to get this guy to understand that, like, we're spending all of our resources on killing random motherfuckers over there.
You're spending your resources in maintaining the liberal international order that makes the modern economy that you guys are all benefiting from it possible. You fucking ungrateful piece of crap. You don't have to be American to be grateful for this. You don't have to be a world citizen. You have to be a living being to be grateful for this. It doesn't matter if you're an American citizen or not.
Instead of like fixing our roads, you know what I mean? Fixing our goddamn crippling infrastructure.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to if the international world order was not there, if the world trade was not there, if the liberal order was not there, you wouldn't be able to afford building any of these roads, you moron.
Sure. Next time your internet shuts down when there's like light rain, depending on where you are in America. Or next time you get into an accident and you need to go to the hospital. And the biggest fear isn't whether you're going to survive or not, but instead how.
Yeah, you know what the solution is? This is unfair to Americans because they are paying more than their share for maintaining this global order, right? That's true, right? The solution to that is to get other countries powerful. But right now, you don't have another option. Like, we want a world where we have NATO is a lot more powerful, the UK is a lot more powerful, Germany is a lot more powerful, France is a lot more powerful, Japan is a lot more powerful, South Korea is a lot more powerful, Australia is a lot more powerful, Canada, I don't think so. Maybe not Canada, because that's going to take a long time. But all these other countries are so much more powerful, and they have so much more advanced military that they could help the United States with keeping this order, right? So the American citizen, the American taxpayer does not have to be paying for large amount of this share. It's not fair. I agree that this is not fair to the American citizen, to the American taxpayer. But there is no alternative. There is no other army that could do this. And if they did not do this, everyone would suffer, including Americans. Thank you, Winning Osprey, for the super chat. Thank you for keeping the Republic going with the super chats. And also, the good sir, with another super chat. Guys, again, these super chats are really helping us because we have been demonetized. The good sir is saying, Wokistanis have been complaining about the recent U.S. aid package to Israel, but it includes aid to the Palestinians too. They never mentioned that part. Yes. And they also don't mention that if United States stop helping Israel defending itself, stop providing aid to Israel to be able to defend itself, that would mean a lot more Palestinians would die. A lot more Palestinians would have to die. So United States support for Israel is not just helping Israel, it's also keeping Palestinians alive. And there are a lot of Palestinians alive today because of United States support for Israel. A lot of Palestinians that don't understand that they need to be grateful to the United States for supporting Israel, or else they will be dead today.
How much that thing is going to cost you, that surgery is going to cost you, remember that that is a decision that people that run this country have made for you. Sanctions make sense. Is their government isolationist? Brother, I am a product of globalism. The reason why I, despite living in Turkey for the first 18 years of my life and being a native Turkish speaker, can talk and seem like a white American whose name is Hank is because of globalism, is because of international cooperation, is because of American cultural imperialism. Trying to say that this is like isolationist is so idiotic. I believe in peace. I believe in international cooperation. I believe in collaboration. America's actions, however, are not cooperative at all.
The international peace that we have requires forced to maintain it. You cannot have international negotiations and peace, but based on just like, hey, how about this? Okay, this is the La La Land Hassan lives in. Like, okay, let's just have international peace and cooperation and just hope that everybody jumps on board and nobody tries to take advantage of the fact that we don't have a military presence all around the world, and just like trust in people's, I don't know, better, you know, their sympathy and their love for, you know, the human, the international cooperation and the well-being of other people. Let's just trust that bad actors all around the world, we're just not going to have really high advanced military presence all around the world. And then, you know, Islamic Republic of Iran and, I don't know, Syria and China and Putin would be like, okay, I see what you're doing, United States. You're just removing all this military from all around the world. We're just going to just be good. We're just going to not take advantage of the lack of military presence everywhere. And we're just going to sit around and just do the best that we could do to make everything work for everybody, not just for us, but for everybody. Like, yeah, sure, that would happen in Hassan's imaginary world, that might happen. But in the real world that we live in, if you want countries to be able to sit around each other and negotiate and cooperate and come up with, you know, agreements and methodologies that make everybody better off, you need a force behind that. You need something that punishes bad actors. You need to be able to advertise that you have retaliatory capabilities. you know, it's not gonna work. It's not, I'm sorry, Hassan. You need to be able to show that if you fuck around and you mess with this beautiful world order that we have created, you are going to find that. If you fuck around, you will find out, because again, wishes that, oh, I just wish the world was a better place where everybody would just get along and we would just hold hands and sing Kumbaya. This is not going to work like that. You need to have some guns and some tanks and some missiles to be like, yeah, this is working out for us. And if you fuck around with it, you are going to get annihilated, because this is just making people better off. That's how it works. That's how the real world works, Hassan. But yeah. Oh, we got more super chats. Oh, we got another super chat from Gajan American saying, Armin used this to lobby Canada to liberate New York City. I will be the model Canadian daddy. Trudeau, please liberate me from this copays? I don't know. Joking. Yes, you're American. You have American in your name, Gajan American. Why are you sucking up to Canada when you're such a proud American? Anyways, let's continue.
I was asking if you think we should be more isolationist. No, I don't like the isolationist concept, because oftentimes it's like some weird reactionary approach. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking simply that we should not interfere in the business of other countries in the way that we do and allow.
Yeah, what if those other countries, what if people in those other countries are messing the way that all other countries are working with each other, right? Should the world not have institutions that comes up with a way that to respond to that, to be able to maintain the peace?
Allow them to thrive. We should collaborate with them. We should cooperate with them. We should allow them to democratize on their own instead of like consistently.
Yeah, oh yeah, let's just have democratize. What if they don't? What if they want to mess around with everybody? What if, do you think democracy is just something, if it's like, oh, if we just let, democracy is like a fruit in nature that just like, just grows out of like, you know, it just comes out of thin air. Like, oh yeah, we just, oh, the reason why they don't have democracy is just because we are there. Like if we just let them, you know, Hassan Piker, you know that you have democracy where you live right now because, I don't know, maybe the French supported the Americans at some point with their revolution. Do you know that almost no country ended up having democracy without support from outside of its borders? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That there's very little that you could show that democracy is just not something that is not something that natural. Oh, the people of that country want democracy. Oh, and they will have it. They will have it. Like, oh, the dictators and the mullahs and the kings of nations were like, oh, we weren't hearing our people's voices over these noises of American guns and tanks. Now that they're away, we're like, oh, you guys want democracy? Oh, why didn't you say so? Well, you shall have it then. You shall have democracy. Here it is. We didn't know that it was this easy. Oh my
God. Meddling in their affairs and causing the shutdown.
Oh, BA, thank you so much for the £5 super chat saying, I really cannot stand these so-called anti-war types. They are many times in reality pro-US losing to bad actors committing atrocities. Yes, thank you so much, BA, for the super chat. I agree. They just hate the United States. They just hate it. Here's the mind of a Wokistani. If you're weak, I love you. I don't care if you are anti-Semitic, if you're a terrorist, if you're killing your own people, if you're torturing people. You weak, you must be. You're the underdog. You must be good. If you're strong, you must be bad. Strong means bad. Strong means evil. Basically, the opposite of far-right people. Far-right thing, like, if you're strong, I don't care what you do, you must be good. If you're weak, you're pathetic, you're bad. That's the far-right mentality. The far-left mentality, it's a fucking, the other way around. They're both stupid. The far-left, if you're weak, I will support you. You must be good. If you're strong, you must be evil because you're in control. For some reason, you must be evil. The liberal mindset is the best one. It's in between. It doesn't say weak bad, and it doesn't say strong bad. It says, become strong with the best methodology and use that power to protect the weak. That's the liberal mindset. It doesn't punish the weak. It supports the weak. It helps the weak. But it also tries to get strength. It goes after strength. Okay, Gajan American with the super chat saying, a copay, something you pay on to top your health insurance, your public health care privilege is showing. Yes, I don't understand your backward American healthcare system because we have, you know, you got, yeah, I don't understand. This is like how backward countries do healthcare. Yeah, this is the America. If you want to criticize America, criticize it for their stupid healthcare system.
Yes, I am an internationalist.
And we obviously we can't take any stock in that, but and nevertheless, right. that's their stock line.
Right. True. But America has to take action that is the most prudent and the most sober. That's going to give us the chance to limit our damage, to defend our people, but then not to escalate and to attack targets that may end up spawning more attacks back onto us. So then instead of three flag draped coffins at Dover, we end up with a bunch of them. And that is bad for America. So we got to be much more careful about how we do target selection.
Now, the president's statement today read, "Our response began today. It'll continue at times and places of our choosing. The United States does not seek conflict in the Middle East. Let all those who might seek to do harm to us know this. If you harm an American, we will respond. That's tough talk from Joe Biden. But at some point, if this were to escalate, conservatives on Capitol Hill will call for a vote by Congress. If it comes to that, if it comes to what looks like a war in the Middle East, we right. need to get Congress back into the game of declaring war, do we not?
Absolutely, 100%. That is an obligation. It's not something they should do. It's something they must do if it's going to escalate beyond that. And
damn, Biden got Fox News talking about the power of the executive office declaring war on its own being unconstitutional. That's crazy.
Okay, well, Biden hasn't done that. Biden hasn't gone to a war. He's just been responding. This is not a full-on... Yeah, Biden, if he needs to go to a full-on confrontational war, he will need a Congress approval. And like, oh, crazy. Biden, even Fox News, it says Biden needs approval. Yeah, well, so far he didn't need approval because he didn't go to a full confrontational direct war with Iran. That's why he didn't need that. I don't know where do you think the hypocrisy is here? Both Biden has been everything Biden has been doing has been completely legal, given that American soldiers have been killed.
Jennifer Griffin asked,
You don't need a response. You don't need a Congress approval to be able to respond to something like this. If you are a full, war with Iran going direct, yes, then Biden would need a Congress approval.
The defense secretary, whether or not there was too much telegraphing going on, watch.
In terms of telegraphing about strikes and whether or not people leave or would have left, I won't speculate on any of that.
Yeah, the thing is that because the United States took such a long time to do the response and they were signaling that they were going to do that, the Islamic Republic took its main... hold on, let me put this user on timeout because they're spamming. What the United States did is like they made the Islamic Republic know in advance that there's going to be a heavy response, so they took out the main leaders of IRGC out of Syria and Iraq, and they're back at home, safe at home. So yeah, that's why the top commanders of IRGC were safe before the attack.
I would just tell you that,
If I was the Biden administration, okay, I understand that I can't start a war with Iran right now, especially like because of the elections and everything, and also because I don't know what's going to happen after. But I will do everything that the Biden administration did right now. I will take out any IRGC ships that are outside of the Iranian waters, and I will also do Mossad-type takeout of some top IRGC commanders within Iran. And not claim responsibility for it, but make it obvious that it was me without actually officially claiming responsibility for it. Because Mossad is doing that in Iran, if the United States does that, then it would basically officially, there would be no clear official statement that whether this was Mossad or the United States. And that's why, officially that would not take United States into war because they're not taking responsibility, but also it would make it very obvious to IRGC commanders that, yes, you fuck around and now you're dead.
We'll have a multi-tiered response.
I mean, Mr. Ambassador, I'm sorry, but I am concerned.
The head of IRGC, That guy needs to go right now. That guy needs to be assassinated. That I know the Biden administration doesn't do that. By the way, it's very funny. The name of this guy, I will show you guys. But that guy, because if Trump took out Qasem Soleimani, now Biden needs to take Hossein Salami. Again, and I'm not kidding, this guy's name is Salami. You know, what is it with cutlet, with food and salami? Okay. Yeah, this is the head of the chief of the Islamic Revolution. Yeah, so this is the guy right now, the head of IRGC right now. This, the Hossein Salami, I think this should be the target of the United States right now. This guy needs to be taken out. Again, the Biden administration is not going to do that, but this is what I would do if I was the Biden administration. Hossein Salami, that should be the target.
When he is our Pentagon chief, I find him very unsteady. I find him very confused and muddled in his responses. And today it was just a written response, written statement from him.
I mean, I don't know what to do with that, Laura. You know, what do you think the Iranians are going to do? If they know that we're going to attack them, do you think they're just going to sit around and, like, look up into the sky and take pictures with their iPhones of the incoming? I mean, of course they went to ground. Of course they went back to Iran or hid or obscured their locations or moved.
By the way, they just talked about why that is the way it is, because the previous guest literally said, we don't want it to escalate into a broader conflict where, like, Iran starts retaliating against American troop positions and you see more American troops return home in coffins. That's the reason why there's some level of communication with our foreign adversaries in this back and forth. It's mostly theater. It just depends on how hard America strikes. So the other dude knows that too. He's like some ambassador CIA guy. Of course he knows that. But of course they got to play this song and dance on television as though, like, Biden is weak, actually, because he's bombing Iran in the exact same way that, like, any Republican administration, or he's bombing Iranian proxies in the same exact way that the Republican administration would do. However, no. Because it's Biden, we hate him. Because it's Biden and the way he's doing it,
It's not exactly the same. Trump's response was much stronger. They took out Qasem Soleimani. It's not exactly the same at all.
Hate him, actually, and it's actually somehow bad. And for the record, Trump did this too, in collaboration, I think, in Syria. He also informed ahead of time the bombing, the targets they were going to strike. It's more about crippling their infrastructure so that it's harder for them to conduct operations rather than, like, actually killing their nationals. However, Qasem Soleimani.
Imagine being against that. Imagine being like, oh, yeah, let's take out the that's a good thing, Hassan. That's a good thing. Take out the infrastructure of Iranian proxies around the region. That's not just good for Americans. That's also good for the people living in Syria and Iraq to reduce the influence of a foreign government, which is the Islamic Republic, in their own countries.
It was a different story. Obviously, that wasn't with any kind of collaboration whatsoever. That was actually a major escalation, and luckily it didn't turn into a broader conflict.
Oh, it was a major escalation that did not escalate. Basically, you know what he's saying? He's like, that was a major escalation that did not escalate. So maybe it was de-escalatory because the Iranian regime realized, like, holy crap, these people mean business. When we do something, they take out our most important person, right? So that is de-escalatory. You saw yourself like, oh, thankfully it didn't escalate. Yeah, that is exactly why we call taking out Qasem Soleimani de-escalatory. You just confirmed it yourself. Anyways, guys, I'm way over time. I thought I would be able to do this in 1 hour. Thank you so much all for the super chat. I think the super chats really helped me being able to do these streams because I spent a lot of time preparing for these streams, doing these streams, and with the demonetization of these videos, it makes absolutely no sense for me to be able to spend this much time doing these streams. But you guys spent so much you guys were very generous with the super chat. So now it makes sense. And I will continue doing the streams. But again, please don't leave. Please, shame on you if you don't like the stream. Like, that doesn't cost you anything. And it really helps this channel. It really helps us grow. So I don't understand why you would watch the stream without spending 1 second, at least 1 second, to like it. Like, I don't know. Like, at least ask yourself, why am I not doing that? If you're not liking the stream, just ask yourself, what is making me not liking the stream, given though I know that this content is good, and I know it will help them, and I'm still like liking the stream. Okay? So, and also, once the stream is over, if you want to help us out more, you could leave a comment under the show, and you could make sure you subscribe, make sure you hit the bell notification, and also, please, if you can, spend some time telling other people to come and subscribe to this channel so that this channel grows. And yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you again on the next stream, right? Don't forget to like! Everybody, like now! All right, bye. I'm bringing back the shouting.